1987.
Christ first, Lord, and Lord, just help us this service, Lord, that we may glorify you, Lord, and Lord, we just pray for all the mothers that they would have a blessed time with their families today, Lord, and Lord, just bless the preacher as he preaches, Lord, that we may hear the word of God, Lord, and that we may hear it and tell everyone about it, Lord, and Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord, and Lord, just bless our service this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our chorus books again and turn to 124. 124. My God and I.
My God and I.
Satan.
Take our announcement time. Jim, go right ahead with yours. Come on up.
Okay, one announcement I have is last couple weeks we took an offering for John Vassell for expenses for his funeral. For Debbie's funeral, I'm sorry. And so we collected a grand total of $965, and which was a lot. So the church wrote him a check for $1,000. So we got that out, and it's on its way. And also, last year, Pastor Freeman gave money to firefighters. They're running their donation drive, so right now they're running it again. We got a letter, so we just continued that. So we gave them $100 for their donation drive to the Caddy Fire Department. So that's it.
Thank you. It's such a blessing to see the Lord supply needs when we are doing everything we can to be a blessing to someone else. And at the same time, even with that large amount that was given to Brother Vassell, the Lord has been blessing in our offerings here for our ministry here. And so that's such a blessing to see that. And please continue to give as the Lord prospers you. For those who are new and don't know, we don't pass an offering plate here. We have our offering boxes in the back there on the back table. And you can go by and put money in before or after any of our services. And that's how we do it. And what you choose to give is between you and the Lord. So I trust that we'll continue to do that and be a blessing to each other as we seek to keep the ministry going here. On that note, this coming Saturday, the 20th at 9 a.m., we're going to have a church work day. There will be little snacks to nibble on, donuts, coffee, that kind of thing. We don't want to have a full breakfast because everyone would fill up and then there wouldn't be any work done. So we'll give you just enough to tide you over until lunchtime. And if you have any special tools that might be of benefit to help the church in the work that we're going to be doing Saturday, please bring them along, and trust that we'll see many of you here on Saturday at 9 o'clock. Okay. We've already welcomed them in Sunday school, but I want to mention again, we have a couple of visitors with us today. Welcome again. We're glad you're here. Hope you'll come back and see us again. All right, and then on that note, we're not. I hope all of these folks understand we're not doing it to embarrass anybody, but we want to welcome our new members to our church. So if they would come up here, we have May and June, San Luis, and Johan, and then Dennis, Les, and Nancy Pirelli. So we're going to have them come up here, and then as soon as they come, they met with, in days past, all our prospective members would meet with Pastor Freeman, and he would welcome them into our midst. We have always welcomed our members through elders, okay? Well, we don't have any here right now, and so our charged men or our search committee are kind of substituting in that role, and so they all of them met with us last week, and we were very glad to hear what the Lord has done in their lives, and we want to welcome them into our church family. So what we're going to do, if you would just line up and face everybody, we're going to have everybody that's able to stand up, come on up and greet them, and then you can all go back to your seats, okay? Come on up and greet them.
our memory verse for the week. So if you have your Bible and would like to turn to it, it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. The two verses we were looking at previously in Ephesians 2 talk about how we can get to heaven. It's by grace through faith, not works. Well, when we come the right way, this verse tells us that we can know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. Alright? So let's say it together. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Good. Our last song before the special and the message is one of our favorites. It's 211. 211. Everything's all right in my Father's house. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one?
Supper time. Interval. So, all right, we good. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's always good to get the okay from Brother Sam. if you get this when you're up here, we ain't hearing it. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you please turn to Luke chapter number 11? Please, Luke chapter number 11. I'm going to move these over here so I can have a place for the book. Luke chapter number 11. It's definitely good to start Mother's Day in the Father's house. Amen. Ain't that true? It's good to start Mother's Day in the Father's house. No doubt about it. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Amen. I mentioned in Sunday school, if it wasn't for mothers, we wouldn't be here. Amen. And so we owe them pretty much everything, right? That's for sure. This morning in Luke chapter 11 is where we're going to start the message. This morning, I want to preach a message this morning, And I want to talk to you about prayer. I'm going to talk about prayer this morning. The thought that I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk to you about prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. It's so important for us to pray, to speak with the Lord on a daily basis. Amen. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. When you pray. Amen. And so we need to be speaking with the Lord on a daily basis. And I know today is Mother's Day. And some of you are saying, well, what about, isn't there a Mother's Day message? Yeah, this is a Mother's Day message. Amen. And we'll see that in a little bit. But you know, there have been women in the Bible who had to pray to be mothers. And right off my mind, I think of Hannah. I mean, there are women in the Bible who couldn't have children. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. In fact, thank God for that woman, Hannah, who prevailed in prayer to the point that she had a child. And that child was Samuel. Amen. In fact, the name Samuel means asked of God, because that's what she did. She got that child because she prayed and she asked the Lord. I have a sister-in-law. Her name is Kelly Renzi. She's married to my brother Mark, and she had issues having children. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and sought the Lord, and she had a child, and it was Candace. And then she prayed and prayed and prayed and had another child, and she decided, we're going to have to name this one Samuel. So I have a nephew named Samuel, Sam. And so women have been praying for children to become mothers for a long time, amen? And some men have been praying for their wives to have children as well. And but, you know, I've heard stories, and you've probably heard stories of mothers whose prayers have made the difference, amen? How many people have heard somebody say, if it wasn't for my mother praying for me, amen? And so history, if you think about it, many great missionaries and many great preachers have been products of the prayers of their mothers. Amen. And so mothers, one of the great things that you can do is pray. Amen. Pray for your children. Amen. Pray for your children. You know, when somebody's praying for somebody else, when they have a heart filled with love for that person they're praying for, they're the ones that are going to pray. Amen. There ain't no doubt about it. Amen. And so mother's love is so strong, their prayers are going to be strong for their children. Amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning about prevailing prayer. And by the way, anytime a message is preached for anybody, we all get something from it. Amen. And if you don't, then there's something wrong. Amen. Prevailing prayer. I want you to look with me, please. Luke chapter number 11. And I want to begin in verse number 5. Luke chapter number 11, and we're going to begin in verse number 5. I'm going to read the story the Lord told about prayer, and specifically about prevailing prayer. What is prevailing prayer? It's prayer that just won't quit. Amen? We need to be praying people. We need to be praying mothers and praying fathers, especially for our children and our young children. I'll be honest with you, as the days get darker, our prayers need to probably be more fervent. Amen. There ain't no doubt about it. Amen. I believe that. In Luke chapter number 11, look at verse number 5, if you will. And this is Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And by the way, as he goes on with the story, I kind of wonder how much of a friend this friend was. Amen. Can I get a witness on that one? If I were to call this, I would call it the so-called friend at midnight. Amen. But nonetheless, look at verse number 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? By the way, midnight's an inconvenient time. Can I get a witness on that one? I don't like phone calls from friends at 12 midnight. Usually that involves something, right? I need a ride or something like that, right? Verse number 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Verse number 6. Here's why he needs 3 loaves. For a friend of mine, oh boy, there's another friend right there. This is all about friends, amen? One friend asking another friend for something for another friend. Verse number, by the way, yeah, look at verse number 6. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. How embarrassing. You ever been there? You ever been there? Oh no. If I would have known you would have coming, I would have baked a what? Yeah, because I don't have anything right now. Amen. Thank God for the convenience that we have nowadays, because we have menus. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. We can get you a pie. How about a cheese pie? Amen. With pepperoni. But verse number 6. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Verse number 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. By the way, there's a key statement right there. Trouble me not. Stop bothering. Leave me alone. By the way, he's in bed. By the way, I've woken up people like that before. My children. Amen. Time to get up for school. Trouble me not. Look at verse number 7. Trouble me not. Why? The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. They believed at that time they stayed in one room and they pretty much all stayed together for the most part. And so if he's going to get up, he's going to be inconvenienced and he's going to inconvenience everybody else. He said, I cannot. By the way, that was wrong. Can I get a witness on that one? He could. The fact he should have said, I will not. I don't want to. He said, I cannot rise and give thee. Now, this is a parable. This is a story that Jesus is telling. Verse number 8, if you will. I say unto you, Jesus said, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. That's a big word right there. You say, what does that word mean? It means persistent urgency. Persistent urgency. He's not going to get up and give you what you want because he's your friend. Here's what Jesus said. I'll tell you how to get what you need. Keep bothering them. Amen. There are people that do things just to shut you up and get you out of there. Amen. And that's what he's saying. Importunity. A persistent urgency. Persistent urgency. Persistent urgency. Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him, and I like this statement, as many as he needeth. Whatever you need, just get out of here, amen? By the way, the Lord's not trying to say he's like that. This is not a parable referring to the Lord and his reluctance to hear our prayer. This is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is, by the way. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, amen? The emphasis here is keep on knocking. Keep on bothering. Keep on troubling. Amen. Persistent prayer. Look at verse number 9, if you would, please. And here's where the application comes in. The Lord Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The word ask, seek, and knock are really, and I'm not a Greek expert in no way, but the understanding is keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. It means don't quit. Don't quit. Why? Look at verse number 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What the Lord Jesus said here is you need to keep on keeping on, keep on praying, and keep on seeking the Lord. Amen. By the way, I don't know how many have done this, but if you put those three words together, ask, seek, and knock, if you think about, ask begins with what? A. Seek begins with what? S. Knock begins with what? Put it together acrostically, it's ask. That's what prayer is, amen? You and I need to be people who are persistent. By the way, children are like this. Can I get a witness on that one? Mom, go! Please. Amen? They know how to do it. We need to bring that aggravation over to the spiritual realm. In fact, in Sunday school, we were talking about agitation. Now we're talking about aggravation. These are the key words today. We need to keep that attitude. You know, when you get saved, you ought not to lose your fire and your fervor. You ought to just redirect it. And then what happened with the Apostle Paul? He was aggressive about persecuting the church. When he got saved, he was aggressive about spreading it and furthering it. Amen. He didn't lose his zeal. He just refocused it. Amen? And we need to be persistent. We need to be, if we're going to have prevailing prayer, we need to learn to pray and we need to learn not to quit, not to give up. Amen. I want to give you a couple thoughts this morning. By the way, that was introduction. Let me give you a couple thoughts this morning. Number one, I want you to see something. Would you turn to the book of Mark? We're going to pretty much hang in the Gospels in great measure because much of the teaching about prayer here is from the Lord himself. Would you look at Mark, please, chapter number 5? You know, mothers praying for their children is one thing, and fathers praying for their children is another thing. But I'll tell you, parental prayers make a big difference. Amen? No doubt about it. Boy, I'll tell you, I got two kids, and I'm praying. I mentioned in Sunday school, my one son just finished his degree. He's got a bachelor's in finance and business. And we thank God he made it through the 4 years. The other son's getting ready to start something. Amen. And I'll tell you, they keep you on your knees. Forget about the toes, the knees. Amen. And now I'm praying for him to get a good job and a house and his own bills and for mine to lower a little bit. Especially that food bill. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Let me give you a thought here. Number one, Mark chapter number 5. Number one, I want you to see this. Prevailing prayer is prayer that won't quit in the face of discouragement. Discouragement a lot of times has closed many lips. We cannot allow discouragement to keep us from seeking God in prayer. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I believe when you're praying the hardest, the devil's on the move the greatest. And I sometimes think that when things are about ready to turn a positive way, it seems like all hell breaks loose. And I use that word literally. I'm talking about the devil and his domain. Amen? Remember one of those men that Jesus was going to, or the boy, I think it was, Jesus was going to heal, and they brought him, and all of a sudden he just started wallowing and foaming, and it just seemed to get worse before the Lord touched him. When Moses was sent into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out, it didn't get better when he went in there. Pharaoh said, turn up the heat. Give them less of what they need and give them more work, and it got worse before it got better. But the answer was right there. And you and I need to be praying and praying and praying for our children, especially. We cannot quit in the face of discouragement. Let me give you an example. Mark chapter 5. Would you look at verse number 21? And we'll pick up in 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Verse number 22. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. By the way, that's the place to pray, at the feet of Jesus. By the way, I have a message on this thought at the feet of Jesus and much of what it means. But this man was a parent. He was a father. And he came to Jesus to pray for his child. Look at verse number 23. And he besought him greatly, and that's prayer, that's fervent prayer. He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. By the way, reading about this yesterday and studying a little bit about this yesterday, and a thought that somebody had was transferred to me from reading it. His daughter was at the point of death. This man had to have a lot of faith. Because he's got to leave her at her dying moment to go to Jesus. You think about that. You would want to be there for your loved one at their dying moment. But this man must have knew that if I can reach him, he can make the difference. Amen. Look at verse number 22. And behold, verse number 23. Besought him greatly, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, he said, come and lay thy hands upon her or on her that she may be healed and she shall live. He knew that he could make the difference. He said, she will live if you come and touch her. And by the way, one thing this man didn't understand, Jesus didn't need to go there. There was another man who understood the power of the word. And he said, Lord, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Amen. But nonetheless, the Lord Jesus will comply with this. Look at verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now skip down to verse 35 because something else took place in between. But look at verse 35. While he yet spake, he was speaking to this woman who had gotten healed. While Jesus yet spoke, get this, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. You know what that is right there, folks? That's discouragement. Jairus is beseeching and praying and seeking the Lord for his daughter, and he hears a discouraging news. Your daughter's dead. They don't tell us the name of the young lady, but I had given her a name myself. Her name to me is Hope. You see, what he says is hope is gone. It's over now. Read on. Here's the question they posed to him in light of the fact that they said it's over. Why troublest thou the master any further? That, my friends, is a great, great question. You know that word troubleth? We read that already, didn't we? We read that in Luke 11. You keep troubling that friend. Your daughter is dead, they said to Jairus in the presence of Jesus. Why trouble the master anymore? Why bother praying? It's over. We sang that song opening up today many times. Satan whispers, there is no need to try. There's no hope for you by and by. Amen. That song I had written down on a paper yesterday in preparation for this. That's what the devil does. We're seeking the Lord for something. We get discouraging news, and the devil's always usually behind that. Why bother the master? Why trouble the master? Why keep praying? Why keep pushing? In fact, somebody said, push until something happens, right? I want you to note, let's pick up in verse number, by the way, do I want to do that? Yeah, look at verse number 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, by the way, immediately when Jesus heard that, what did he say unto the ruler of the synagogue? Be not afraid, only believe. Don't quit. Don't be afraid, and don't stop seeking me, and don't stop praying, only believe. Look at verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead. Hold on, they said she was dead. He said she's not dead. Who do we believe? Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. That's like the doctor when he tells you you got a few months or a few years and you get 13, 14. Life and death are in the power of the Lord's hands. Amen. But see, verse number 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. By the way, when he says arise, you get up. Amen. By the way, he's going to say that one day to those of our loved ones that are sleeping. Amen. He's going to wake them up. Verse number 42, and straightway, which means immediately, the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of what? 12 years. Side note, I think in this chapter 12 is significant, because I think there's a thinly veiled allusion to what God can do for the nation of Israel. He can heal it of its sickness. Remember the woman in this chapter had issue for how long? 12 years. Or he can raise the dead. By the way, Israel as a nation will be resurrected. You can read that in the book of Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. Amen? But nonetheless, that's just a sidebar. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. I like that. Give her something to eat. I like that. Amen? Why trouble the master any further? You get discouraging thoughts. You get discouraging news in the midst of praying for somebody. The question arises to you and I in our hearts. Why trouble the master any further? I want to give you the answer to that question. Chapter 5 of Mark holds the very answer of why we ought to keep troubling the master. In verses 1 to 20, there was a demon-possessed man. We talked about him last week, I believe. Nobody could help him. Jesus Christ came by, cast out the demons. This man no longer was running around in the graveyard, cutting himself naked. He was clothed. He was sitting in his right mind. Why trouble the master any further? He's got power over demons. That's why. Over the devil's domain. That's why. You know another reason why? Because in between the story that we were talking about, this Jairus, a woman who had an issue 12 years, gave everything she had and saw all the physicians she could, but she grew worse and nothing got better until she heard about Jesus. And she said, if I can get a hold of him, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be made whole. And she broke through the crowd and touched his garment, and she was made whole that very hour. Why trouble the master any further? He's got power over disease and power over demons. And as we read in the story, he's got power over death. Why trouble the master any far further? I'll tell you why. Because Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast created the heavens and the earth, and there's nothing too hard for thee." If he can make everything out of nothing, he can do anything for you and I. For with God, all things are possible. Why trouble the master any further? Why keep praying? Why pray for your child? Why pray for your grandchild? Why? They're on drugs and maybe, you know, they're going through this or going. Because prayer makes the difference. God makes the difference, amen? And prayer is asking God to get involved in something. And I thank, you know what I thank God for? That he answers our prayers for us. Sometimes not even for the one we're praying for. You understand that? He's not going to answer perhaps because of the way they're living, but he may answer us because of the way we're living. Amen? Why pray? Here's why we ought to pray. Here's why we ought to keep troubling the master. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Why should I keep troubling the master? How about because of Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen. Prevailing prayer is prayer that don't quit. Not in the face of discouragement. Let me give you another one. Turn to Mark chapter number 10. We got to move quickly on this one. Mark chapter number 10. You see, prevailing prayer, that's what we need. Don't quit in the face of discouragement. Don't quit in the face of discouragement. Here's another one. Mark chapter number 10. In verse number 46. Here's another thought for you. Don't quit. Prevailing prayer is prayer that won't quit in the face of distraction. In the face of distraction. Not just discouragement. Distraction. Distraction. Look at this example. Beginning of verse number 46, Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he, referring to Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Isn't that not prayer? He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David." He recognized who he was, the Messiah, the King. "Have mercy on me." Why is this blind man crying out to the Messiah? Because if he knew the Old Testament, he knew the credentials of the Messiah. The eyes of the blind are opened by him. Verse number 48. And many charged him as that he should hold his peace. Imagine this. A blind beggar by the wayside hears, he heard about Jesus. Jesus is coming by with a great crowd. He's praying and trying to get a hold of Jesus. And people are saying, "Shut up." You know, hold your peace is a nice way of saying shut up. Shut up! Isn't it something? They tried to distract him from contacting Jesus. Did he do it? No, he was persistent. Here's what I want you to get. Watch what it says. But he, guess what? Cried the more great deal. Can I tell you what he did when they tried to distract him? He got louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Shut up. No, no. And he just yelled it out louder. I'm not going to let you distract me. I need him. And I can't let you distract me from him. Amen. But he cried the more great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. What's the next statement? And Jesus stood still. He stopped the Son of God in his tracks. You see, it was that persistent prayer that got the attention of the Lord. By the way, do you think the Lord heard him the first time? And Jesus stood still. I'll give you a parallel thought with this. Joshua, don't turn there. Boy, I can't even know where it's at. Joshua 10, 13. There's a statement that says this. And the sun stood still. Anybody recall that? Joshua needed light to finish the battle that he was in. And he commanded the sun to stand still. And the sun stood still. The sun stopped in its place to give that great leader light for the victory. Here the sun stood still. You just spell sun differently. The sun still stood still to give light to a beggar, not a great leader. That's called the equal opportunity God. No matter who you are. Amen. And he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man. Oh, the people changed their tune on that one, didn't they? They're no longer saying shut up. They're like, hey, he wants to talk to you. Amen? Fickle, right? And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Arise, he calleth for thee. Now look at the faith of the blind man. Verse 50. And he casting away his garment. This is a blind man who needs that garment. How's he going to cast his garment away to go to Jesus? He believes he's going to be able to see it and find it again. That's faith. In all of these prevailing prayer stories, faith is the key. Faith is the key. Amen? You're not going to persist if you don't believe. And I'm not, right? He casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Prevailing prayer is prayer that just won't quit in the face of discouragement. It won't quit in the face of distraction. And then let me give you another one. Just jot this down, and I won't turn you there, but I'll give it to you. Prevailing prayer just won't quit in the face of delay. Delay. Somebody said delays are not denials. This story is found in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. This parable spake Jesus unto them to this purpose, to this end. Men ought always to pray and not faint. And he gave that story about that widow who needed some help from a judge that didn't have any respect for God or man. But that little widow woman troubled that judge to the point he said, I gotta give her what she wants so she can leave me alone. Shall not God take care of his own, though he bear long? See, the Lord is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6. Of them that diligently seek him. Be not weary in well doing. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The last thought. Prevailing prayer will not quit in the face of discouragement, in the face of distraction, in the face of delay. And then here's another one. It will not quit in the face of denial. Face of denial. Now this is a little different. Don't turn there, but in Matthew chapter number 15, 21 to 28, a Syrophoenician woman, she wasn't a Jew. heard about Jesus, obviously believed, came to him seeking help for her daughter who was possessed by the devil, possessed by demons. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right? And this woman, after the Lord said that to her, it pretty much was a denial. This woman turned around and said, Lord, help me. She didn't take that, well, I'm not here for you. She said, Lord, help me. And then he said, you know, it's not fit to give the children's meat to the dogs. And she said, yeah, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She wouldn't give up. She needed prayers answered because she loved her daughter and wanted her daughter help. And she wasn't taking no for an answer. All of what Jesus' dealings with her was a test. It was a test. And she passed it. And he said, you know what? You got great faith. You got it. Your daughter's healed. Amen? Prevailing prayer is prayer that just won't quit. I'll tell you why prevailing prayer won't quit. I want you to get this. Prevailing prayer won't quit because prevailing prayer can't quit. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. When you got a situation and God is your only hope, you can't quit. And for moms and dads, for the sake of our children, we can't quit praying for them. Amen? Prevailing prayer. There was a little boy, and I might have said this here, and if I did, I hope you enjoy it again. There was a little boy who was put to bed. And he got up to bed, and his mother was downstairs, and he yelled down, he said, Mom, I didn't have my glass of water. Can I have a glass of water? And she yelled up, No, you're already in bed. Good night. He yelled down again, Mom, I didn't have my glass of water. Can I have a glass of water? She said, No, get to bed. And he yelled down one more, Mom, can I? She said, I'm going to come up there and spank you. He said, When you come up, will you bring me the water? That, my friends, is prevailing prayer. It's going to cost me, but I'm going to get what I want. Yay, what I need. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank and praise you for this gathering this day. I want to thank you for the mothers, Lord, our mothers, and the mothers that are gathered in this place today. Father, I thank you and praise you for the mothers that are saved, who know you, and who can make the difference because of their prayer life. And I understand it's not just mothers who can pray and make the difference. Fathers can pray. We all can pray and make the difference. Oh, might we learn to pray persistently and not quit, not give up. Our loved ones are too loved for us to quit. Father, I pray today for those of our loved ones that are not saved. May we not stop praying for them. Those of our loved ones that are away from the Lord who may be saved, may we not stop praying for them. May our prayers reach heaven and move heaven for the sake of our loved ones and for the glory of your name in them. Father, I pray today that you'll bless every gathering as we dismiss and many people go to brunches and lunches and other things and dinners. And I'm praying you'll give us blessed, wonderful times and gatherings. Lord, good time of food and fellowship. Lord, for your glory, for your honor. Father, I pray today if there's anybody in this gathering who is not saved, I pray they'll not leave this place without, Lord, getting saved. Lord, today's the perfect day to get saved because today is the day of salvation. Today's the accepted time. My prayer is if there's a person in here that is wondering or questioning about their salvation, that they might know that they can see me after church. I'm right up the front here and they can come to me and we can talk to them or have somebody talk to them and show them from the Bible how to be saved. And I pray for those of us that are already saved. I pray that our hearts were stirred and challenged to keep on knocking and keep on asking and keep on seeking as long as we're here on this earth, Lord, and have that opportunity to pray in this way. Father, I do pray for your watch care over our dismissal. Father, I do pray that you'll please watch over and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Amen. Have a great Mother's Day. Mothers, amen.